And I think it's gonna be this month, honestly, that the
Whoa.
That the new album comes out. That might that might
tuned.
Be some spicy news.
Stay tuned.
There's probably going to be an album release show, actually. The date picked out is February 19th.
Whoa.
Standing Stone Wines. That's
that
in Winooski.
Down. Write that down.
That's going to be when the most recent things come out.
Wait, that's awesome. That's not even like the end of the month.
Right. Yeah.
That's, like,
yeah.
The middle
no.
of the month.
So I'm basically getting the masters back. My friend River from Emo Girls Kissing.
Shout out.
Is doing the mastering. She's over at Big Lake Recording now. She's making it sound real good, better than I could with that, because I don't really know what you're doing with that stuff. I press a button. I press a button when I do mastering at home, and I'm like, all right.
Hands off, yeah.
And that's why I'm paying someone to do it now.
Yeah, and a friend, so you know she's got good
yes.
looks for you.
Yeah, definitely. She's got good ears, and she knows what she's doing behind a mixing console.
That's good. A good friend to have.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're a musician.
Yeah, for
a
sure.
solo musician.
True. Do you guys have questions?
Yeah, well, could you tell us about, like, your songwriting process and what that looks like?
Yeah, so, like, I'm very music first. For me, the music is the easiest thing to write. Sometimes I come up with things at the same time, but usually I'm trying to, like, write kind of a full song on an instrument and just see where that goes. And at this point, after doing it for a while, I see, like, the different ways to write a song is just, like, how to solve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I can sit on guitar and write a song the whole way, and if I run into a roadblock with that, then I run over to some other instrument, and that'll help carry me to the next part of writing.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wait, that's awesome. And so you're... Oh, no. All you.
Like, then do you go in and write the lyrics after, like, once you've kind of figured out basically where you're going with it?
Yeah, like, I never really know how the, like, melody is gonna sound, but I have, like, a bunch of notes in my phone of, like, kind of individual lines, or some of them are more, like, verses. And when I'm ready to, like, write lyrics for a song, I'll usually sit down, go through, pick out some things that feel like they make sense for the song, and then it's maybe like 25% to 30% pieces of notes, and then the notes inspiring me for the rest of the song, and everything else is like fresh thought.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wait, that's awesome. Who are some of your, well, it doesn't necessarily have to be a person, but some of your biggest inspirations?
Yeah. So I really... love it. It's kind of funny saying it because I'm just one person here, but I love, like, really big bands.
Yeah.
That like Swans and Godspeed You Black Emperor, where they regularly have like 6 to 7 people on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And they're almost known for being some of the, like, loudest bands out there. Anyone who writes long songs, I don't know why I realized I liked that, but
yeah.
anyone who's just writing songs over 10 minutes regularly, I'm a fan of.
Oh my god, yeah.
I have some 30-minute songs that I have, which is, like, inspired by Swans and stuff, because I was listening to bands with 2-hour albums when I was 14.
Yeah.
So that was just normal to me. I was just like, all right, I guess bands make 2-hour albums and have 30-minute songs. And
yeah. Wow. You have a great attention span then.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's really interesting because it's like I've written songs both ways, obviously, writing short songs and long songs. And it's just a completely different form of, like, taking your time with the mm-hmm. ideas and kind of giving everything space to breathe. Instead
yeah.
of, like, cutting it down and having the most, like, direct
so
idea.
Condensed. Yeah.
It's, like, it's all about the space because you have all that time to play with.
Yeah, also, like, who's to say you can't, like, no one's there to be, like, you can't make a 20-minute song.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. Definitely a little more recently, Jason Molina, he's kind of a folkier artist.
Mm.
His bands were Magnolia Electric Co. and Songs Ohio. I've started listening to him maybe 3 years ago, and at this point, when I sit down with a guitar to write a song, I feel like I write a Jason Molina song. That's always like, it's a rabbit hole I have to get myself out of now, because I don't just want to keep writing Jason Molina songs.
Wait, I'll have to tune in. I'm not
But like, especially lyrically, he's been a huge influence, and actually, getting more comfortable singing wise in general. He does a lot of these kind of insane, like, I don't know what you'd even call them, runs, these notes that he hits and just like moves through them so fluidly. Just kind of singing along to his stuff really kind of opened up a new level of being comfortable with my own voice.
DJ Gravy in the booth says that Magnolia Electric Co. is one of his favorite albums.
Absolutely.
Way.
I'm so glad to hear it, Gravy. All right. Yeah, I believe Magnolia Electric Co., not the first album I found. It's the first one I fell in love with, but I was exposed to Jason Molina through a solo album, which is very dark and depressing.
Interesting.
it's just, I think... Oh, the album is called Let Me Go, Let Me Go, Let Me Go.
Oh.
And it's...
if that's any indicator.
Yeah,
to
yeah, it's definitely like he's one of those people where just like as the discography goes on, it's just sadder and sadder.
Yeah.
And it's like honestly very interesting in a like morbid way to like be able to watch the downfall of a man throughout his music.
That's so interesting, so vulnerable too, to be able to release all that stuff. That's just
right. Like, yeah, and so. He was also very prolific. He was he put out a lot of stuff very quickly, had a 6-hour, he called it a box set, but it was like 3 albums plus an EP.
Whoa.
I was actually doing something very similar and I didn't even know about that.
You guys are like interwoven spiritually or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I really don't get it. I have this 8-hour album. Wow. Which is I split it into 4 parts so that anyone would take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But the 4 parts are 20 tracks each.
Wow.
And the 8 hours is split like 2 hours, 2 hours, 1.5, 2.5, I believe. River from Emo Girls Kissing is mastering 2.5 hours of music for me, and she's already done the other 6 hours.
Wow.
Okay, what you said before about the backlog of music is really making sense.
Yeah.
That's a lot of music. That's a lot.
Yeah.
This isn't the album that's coming out in 2 weeks, right?
Oh, or no, is this it? Is.
Oh.
Yeah, part
okay.
So this
wait,
is
wait, I'm excited.
The whole series is the War Turtles versus Goliath.
Love.
They're Love. Named after seasons. So the winter one, part 4, will be coming out by the end of the season. I don't. It's like February 20th or something like that.
Are you gonna like drop them seasonally?
Oh well, so parts 1 through 3 already out.
Oh.
That has been coming
Wait, this
out.
Is everything.
Basically, those came out last year. Part God. 4 was supposed to be out last winter, and then it a bunch of things happened and it got pushed back.
So you're telling us that the final installment will be out this month?
Yes.
That's huge. Oh my, that's huge. Wow.
That's really huge.
Further proof of how huge it is.
Exactly.
Really huge.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm like, I it's been a long time getting to the point where it's actually coming out. And when I was like releasing all the other ones, I wasn't really putting so much effort into performing. So it was kind of just like a little like drop in the puddle. Like there was like barely any reaction to be had.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first time that I'm like really in the middle of doing things while releasing it, and I get to talk about it.
Yeah.
Everything is from 2025 put out late 2024 to 2025 parts 1 through 3.
That's so exciting.
And yeah, all this is on Spotify and everything. There are also certain Bandcamp only tracks because I did some sampling that was maybe a legal gray area.
That's what Bandcamp
and,
is for.
And that's what Bandcamp
yeah.
is
Shout
for.
Shout out Bandcamp.
We got to keep the Bandcamp. 20 track count per part. So I dropped one, just put another on. That's the streaming exclusive. And we got the Bandcamp exclusive.
There you go.
That's how decisions are made, I guess.
Yeah. Someone in the chat said that they are very excited for Versus Goliath Part 4.
Awesome. Yeah.
Don't know who it is, but just know they're out there.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm excited.
What do you think about playing another song for us?
Yeah, I could definitely play another song.
Unless you guys have any really important questions.
Play us one.
Let's see, what do I got here? This is actually, I believe I can do one from Goliath Part 4 here.
A sneak peek.
Let's do it.
I mean, you think 80 songs, you think I'd be able to perform one of them?
The odds are in your favor, I think.
Okay, so this song is called A Killdozer for Your Problems.
Door.
Thank you.
Sorry, I think I missed it.
So that song is called A Killdozer for Your Problems.
Okay. Writing that down so I know to listen to it.
When. Sorry, I was still in video game mode there.
No, that's okay. I don't mind video game at all. Wait. Do you guys have questions?
I've got a question.
Yes.
I was wondering, could you give us just a little history? Like, when did you start making music, and have you always been solo?
So yes, I have kind of always been solo. I was obsessed with music as a kid. I was like playing along to AC/DC on the Dog's Tail. They actually got me like a full-sized guitar when I was a three-year-old, and I couldn't play that thing at all. I eventually got into guitar for real when I was like 10. I like loved the Guitar Hero games. And I was
Guitar Hero.
Probably like even as a child, like my second or third wave of being obsessed with Guitar Hero.
Yes.
And my dad was just like, you have broken guitars around the house. We could get one fixed and get you a free lesson. And that's what I had, a free 15-minute lesson from Guitar Center where they showed me three chords and how to tune the guitar. And then I didn't have another lesson for 6 months.
Yep.
And I was just learning at home and doing a bunch of stuff myself. And when I finally came in for that next lesson, he was like, I don't know what to do with you. I was just like already like playing a bunch of like Metallica riffs and stuff. And
you didn't need him anymore.
Yeah. Genuinely, he was.
You graduated.
Like, you need a not Guitar Center guitar teacher.
A legit one.
And I was just like, all right, I'm gonna go keep looking at tabs online or whatever.
Wow. How old were you when that happened?
10. That was right around when I turned 10 years old, I think.
Wow.
And then I actually happened to be homeschooled at the time. I wasn't homeschooled the whole time, but just then I was. So it was mm-hmm. like a bunch of time to sit at home and just like I literally had nothing else to do. So I really just played guitar a lot. I started trying to write when I was like 14. It didn't really go well. I had, little baby writer's block. And it took me a while to get over that. But I was like doing open mics as like a 12-year-old.
Whoa.
Wow. That's awesome.
Playing like White Stripes songs and stuff like that.
Awesome.
I won my school's talent show 3 years in a row.
Okay.
Which is a little diabolical. I was absolutely a menace.
You're just too good.
People needed
to catch up to you.
I got three sweatshirts with my name on it. I mean, none of them fit me anymore, but
but that's an heirloom.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I still actually have friends that are like, "Oh, I haven't seen you like play a show yet, but like, man, that talent show," all these years later, people are still like, "You came out with it."
That's legendary.
It was like, yeah, it's like a little ridiculous, but I loved getting any sort of opportunity in school to do music stuff. I did songs as school projects once I started writing.
Whoa! Wait, that's awesome.
There's a song on my second album called "Psych Song," which is from my high school psychology class.
That's always an option for like the final projects.
Really?
I feel like the teacher will always just throw that out there and be like, "You can make a song if you want to."
Yeah. I feel like my teachers would never have hated to hear a song from me.
They wished.
Would have been like, seriously?
They just wanted us to be creative.
They would have been happy you tried.
That is true. Very encouraging creatively. Yeah. That's true. I guess that's the spirit of things. Yeah.
It wasn't for me.
Well, it's better to try. Wait. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the quote?
You can do it.
It's better to try than to have done nothing at all? Question mark.
Exactly. Right.
Thaddeus is nodding his head, so I'm gonna say yes.
I think that's beautiful.
Thank you.
And so true.
Thank you, DJ Gibbs.
What was like the first song you wrote where you were just really proud of it? Like, did you have like one like first song you were really proud of?
That's a
yes.
good question.
Yeah. There's like songs I wrote before that I didn't consider real songs at the time. They were, but there's this one song called "Burned Retinas,"
Whoa.
Which I think is.
How old were you when you wrote that?
15.
Okay.
That's the second song on my first album. The album came out like 2 weeks after I turned 16. So like that's all work by a 15-year-old.
Wow.
I remember that was the first song that I wrote where I was like, okay, this is something I'm gonna release. Like I just know I'm going to release it.
Mm-hmm.
And like it was kind of like an uphill battle of like gaining confidence about songwriting. Cause I was just in my head about like, oh, I've got to be like as good as the White Stripes just right off the bat or I suck.
Yeah.
You know, there's this thing where you think artists are making every decision intentionally.
Yeah.
And you're just mm-hmm. like, oh, they're a genius cause they're doing all of this on purpose. And it's like 90% happy accidents.
Yeah.
But so I was true. Just in my own head about it at the time. Like, oh, I need to write my first song.
Yeah.
At the age of 15. Yeah. That was burned retinas for sure.
Wow.
Nice.
What was your favorite song to play on Guitar Hero? Just know that I have my answer for my personal life. But let me not step on your toes.
Good
like,
question.
Real.
I mean, personally, as a kid, what was always my like jam was the like battles in like I think it was like Guitar Hero 3. They had yes. like you battled yes. Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine, you battled Slash, and then you battled the devil himself.
Yeah. Wow.
And it was just like it's this metal version of The Devil Went Down to Georgia. I think that's probably it. Is the metal version of Devil Went Down to Georgia from Guitar
Wow.
Hero.
Wow. Wow. Yes. They had the children going through the most intense trials on Guitar Hero.
Absolutely.
I swear to God.
No, actually.
Wow, that's a great answer.
What is your Chloe? Answer?
So my brother and I would obviously be a duet. I think he played the guitar and I sang question mark emoji. And it was Should I Stay or Should I Go by The Clash.
Okay.
A classic. Pretty I think we really also good. Had maybe the drum set that was donated to my family because my dad was a drummer, so he had big, big, big dreams.
Okay.
Is a drummer, I'm sorry.
Oh, he's not
sorry.
Listening.
Sorry, Dad. Sorry, Dad.
Wow.
Yeah, which, you know, a drum set is not good to have in a house full of children.
That is true.
If you want
very
peace
difficult.
And quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you guys yeah. play Guitar Hero?
I didn't, actually.
That okay. That okay.
So we're just like the two nerds right now?
No, you
know, geeking
people.
Out of Guitar Hero.
Oh, we're
I
right
wish.
Because we know, and you're like you're left out. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Left out. I wish
let
I
that sink
to
in. Let
question.
That sink in.
I actually feel horrible.
No, yeah. don't, DJ Deej, disc jockey Deej. I'm gonna start referring to you guys as your government name, and it's disc jockey instead of DJ.
Oh, okay.
Wait.
Yes.
Also, the
wait,
person
what?
On in the chat. Wait.
What?
Huh?
The person. That said that they're very excited for Risk Goliath Part 4 was Maya. So shout out Maya.
Okay, shout out Maya.
Do you know?
I'm racking my brain. Absolutely.
Maya, thank you for your support and your chat.
Government.
Question? Government name. And it's disc jockey instead of DJ.
Mm.
You know,
yes.
like if
oh,
your
like,
name was Elizabeth
oh.
and I called you Liz, like I'm going to yes. call you your government name Elizabeth.
Wow.
Anyways, would you like to, guys, am I talking too much? Just tell me to can it. Would you like to play us another song?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So I'm going to pull
one of my super recent ones. I've been playing this live at shows a lot. It's kind of the reason I started grabbing all these keyboards when I do stuff. Cause I wanted my things to sound cool. I was just trying to write good rock songs for a while, and then I got past that, and I was like, I just want my things to sound sick.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to sound like it's coming out of a computer, just straight out the source. And so I kind of wrote this song as like encouragement to like figure out how I want to do this, to start to get myself to bring the keyboards to shows and kind of get the gears rolling. The song is called Shame. And it's about shame.
Fitting name, you could say.
And I will say, this one's going to be kind of longer.
take your time away from me. I wouldn't know what to do with it. Thank you.
What was the name of that one called?
So that one was called Shame.
Oh, right. Yeah. Shame about shame. Yes, yes. I forgot. Thank you.
Indeed.
What? So I see you're using, listeners can't see this, but there are a lot of petals on a board.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you had a favorite, and if you do, if you could like explain what it does.
Oh my good Lord.
I know that's like picking your favorite child.
No, that's a perfect question. So I'm a little torn because I've got a new favorite that's kind of knocking out the old favorite.
You could have an, well, out with the old, in with the new, you know what they say.
The classic is the Big Muff Fuzz pedal. All right, this is probably the third or fourth version of this that I've had. I just keep upgrading them.
Wow.
There's like a basic one. This one has like a million knobs and switches. It's got a bass boost, a separate boost, and also a noise gate built in. So like it cuts the noise instead of oh, it's actually I see he's got a cut right now. So instead of that, it actually gets cut. Thank you very much for giving me the demo there.
Shout out to you from the booth. Sorry, the mixing
booth. And I would say, like, if I truly, like, you can't get an amp to sound like that. So that's if I, true. Like, really had to pick one pedal, it would probably be that. Because, like, the stuff that I was just doing here, actually... there's parts of that song where I'm holding notes with just one hand, mm-hmm. and it's basically the fuzz pedal that's carrying it. Like everything that I'm doing with one hand would be incredibly quiet and very hard to hear if it wasn't for this just turning it into a wall of sound no matter what you do.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's very useful for me, and I get like a lot of mileage out of that.
So this is the new one that replaced the old.
Yes, yeah, okay. I had the most basic one originally, and yeah, I've got this is the deluxe Big Muff.
Whoa,
tried and true. Yes.
Also to be mentioned, there is a Pokeball. Wait, that's what it's called, right?
Well, yes, yeah, there's
okay,
a Pokeball.
Okay, wait,
and
sorry,
that's
I literally just had like a mandala effect, like I swear, oh my god, on the board, the red and white thing from Pokemon. Honorable mention.
And yeah, it is like the name is a mild Pokemon reference, as mild as it can be to not get sued. The War Turtles definitely is maybe or maybe not inspired by a blue turtle with a tank on its back that
wait,
comes from Pokemon.
Can we name drop that? Wait.
So we got
starts with an S and.
So we got Squirtle, and then here's the real danger here is the evolution of Squirtle. It's called War Turtle.
I love their play on their names.
Yeah, yeah. The way that they twist things is very funny, but
so that was it. So.
And yeah, yeah, and then there's Blastoise, but we're not Blastoise. We're the War Turtles.
Is Blastoise as an evolution more?
Yes.
Okay. Wait,
yeah,
so
Blastoise is like the peak. That's so, peak performance.
Yeah. So maybe we're working. We all could be working towards being a Blastoise.
Right. Yeah. Eventually, the War Turtles will evolve.
Maybe when you defeat Goliath.
Mm. Wow. Gotta that's listen to the album to find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Stay tuned. Wait. Speaking of Pokemon, so basically. The piano was making me think of the Minecraft soundtrack.
Yes.
Okay.
And I was wondering if your music had to soundtrack anything. It could be a video game. It could be a show, a movie, whatever. What would it be?
I mean, I would say I definitely pick a video game. I'd love to do a video game soundtrack at some point.
There are some really great like video game scores.
Yeah, I do like. There are actually some that I listen to. Like I can definitely say mm-hmm. I'm like the game Deus Ex. That's a like late 90s computer game that's like it's like a cyberpunk dystopia and like the soundtrack is like drum and bass but also industrial and also ambient and also gothic. It's
Whoa.
Like there's so much stuff put together and definitely the way that they use piano sounds and stuff like that and it has really influenced me, and a lot of people do give me the comment that my music sounds like video game music. I don't play Risk of Rain 2, But one of my friends who is super into Risk of Rain 2 said that a song of mine sounds like the soundtrack to that. So
compliment.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
You know, any video game music is like where I want to be, especially with my millions of instrumentals.
Yeah. So DJ Gravy checked with our legal counsel and we are good for name drops, just by the way. So Blastoise, we're coming for you. Also, DJ Gravy could picture you doing the Disco Elysium soundtrack.
Interesting. Okay.
He's a big video gamer, I think. Question mark emoji. Huge. Huge.
Biggest in the world.
Yeah. Do you guys have any other questions?
No.
Well, this could not be better timing. So, on the hour, we have our DJs read a short little message for our listeners. So, if you wanted to take a look at our... Oh, beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
Beautiful.